Stephanie Fry Show. I want to give you an update right now on the situation in Georgia before we get to our guest, Robert C.K. Haley, in just one second. There's a little bit of a news update on this very tragic school shooting in Georgia. At least four people are dead Wednesday after a shooting at a high school in north central Georgia put the building on lockdown. The Georgia Bureau of Investigation confirmed four people died at Appalachie High School in Barrow County, Georgia, approximately 40 miles northeast of Atlanta, and nine others were taken to various hospitals with injuries. The suspect is alive and in custody. So that is the update that we have for right now on what is taking place in Georgia. We will continue to watch for further updates and deliver them to you as we get them. A real quick clip here from CNN on some of their latest polling.
In these brand new CNN polls, you see how close this race is. You noted these are the top line numbers here, that Harris has an outside the margin of error slight lead in Wisconsin. She also has an outside the margin of error slight lead in Michigan. You also noted that in Arizona, Donald Trump has a slight outside the margin of error lead. But in Georgia, Nevada, Pennsylvania, no clear leader within the margin of error. This shows that the candidates have multiple paths to 270, but that this is indeed a toss-up race. And you mentioned...
Okay, so that's CNN right there on the polls right now. We have Robert C.K. Haley joining us, chief pollster and founder of the Trafalgar Group. Robert, it's a pleasure to have you back on the show. We know that at the Trafalgar Group, you do things a little bit differently, and we love to hear your latest results. What have your studies shown, and how does it compare to what everybody else is out there saying?
As always, it's a pleasure to be here, Annie, and What we've done is I've been kind of working with partnered with Matt Towery with Insider Advantage, and we each time we do the polls, we divide up the battleground states. So one of us does the other half. You can also hear about what we do on our podcast, Polling Plus. Matt and I do it every week, kind of with insider information on what we're thinking on the polls. But right now, we show it almost the inverse of what CNN's showing it, except for we do have some of the states just neck and neck. Pennsylvania is the largest lead we actually show it now. It's about a 1.8 lead for Trump. And Michigan, we show tied. Wisconsin, very slim lead for Trump, around a point. North Carolina, a 1-point lead for Trump. Georgia, tied. And both Nevada and Arizona, a 1-point lead for Trump. Now let me say, one, all these polls within the margin of error, both ours and CNN's. And I'm a believer that the Democrats, whatever you want to call it, get out the vote, shenanigans, whatever's going to happen on leading up this election, I think it's worth at least 2 points, if not 2.5 in these states. So I do not consider any of these states wins for Trump right now, based upon that.
So you factor in the Democrats' ability to get out the vote.
No, I didn't factor it in the polls.
Well, you're
just telling you.
Yeah.
Right.
Your thoughts right now is you take the polls for what they are, and then you assume about two points-ish for their Democrats' effort to find those votes through however they find those votes.
Well, and some of it is just good old fashioned ground operations.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing the Republican Party does that touches that, because frankly the Republican Party doesn't spend the money on the individuals and develop the farm team the Democrats do. I mean they have thousands of paid operatives on the ground going house to house, getting people, pulling up their phones, putting a program on there so that their phones can text everybody on their phones to remind them that, I mean,
yeah,
really impressive technology. I mean, not to mention what else might be happening, but just alone, that's just impressive. And it's worth, as a matter of fact, I heard Donna Brazile this weekend say that she thinks that the Democrats' ability I'll get out the vote can overcome some of the polling numbers.
Hmm.
So, and I do too. Well, I agree with Donna Brazil. I hate to say that, but I do.
I appreciate that. Robert C. Cahaley with us right now. I'll mention that you can check out his podcast. Go listen to it at Polling Plus. That's the name of his podcast. I encourage you to listen to that. Can you draw any comparisons from this election to 2020 and 2016? I mean, all three of those instances, really dramatically different moments in time. Can you show consistency through those three?
Trump is in a better position than he was almost. But the country, as it relates to Trump, has become a little more understanding of who and what Trump is. And the people who support Trump have gotten a little bolder. There's a lot of folks who were for Trump in 2016 that were real hesitant to say. A little less of that in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would say it picked up. 2024 will be somewhere in the middle, because everything surrounding January 6th and the media's perception of what happened and the media's narrative of what happened and the shame that they put on anybody who is for Trump now has kind of led to some of this happening again. And you also, if you've studied what's called the social desirability bias, and that's the tendency, especially with a live call, for someone to say they are for someone in an election more to make sure the person or organization asking doesn't judge them. We've always thought that applied to Trump.
Yeah.
And, you know, that comes, it was called the Bradley effect, going back to a race in California in the 80s where there was the polls overstated the support for the African-American candidate. So with Kamala Harris being the first African-American, Asian-American woman running for president, there might be an overstated support. So we could have what I would call a double social desirability going on in these races.
That's interesting.
I mean, this in these states. And so this is something we are going to be measuring now that we get close to the election and seeing if we can discern whether that's going on. Because even when you don't use live callers today, people in this information age are still hesitant to say who they're for because they really don't know what anybody's doing with that data. Now, those of you who know who Trials and Confused, we have a privacy policy on our website. The first thing we do is delete first names from the database before we begin calling. So we don't have the records of anybody's first names and last names. So we don't share that data.
Right.
But we know that the others do.
Robert C. Cahaley is speaking with us right now. We hear these stories reporting on Texas and Virginia and other states in the country that are cleaning up their voter rolls or removing dead people or removing illegal immigrants or non-citizens, maybe I should say. Do you expect any of those efforts to have any effect on the 2024 election?
Well, I know the second you start cleaning up your voter rolls in a county, you're going to get a nasty note from Mark Elias from the Democrats. And unless your county or your state's got money to fight it in court, which some do, you're not going to do a lot of cleaning.
Mm.
It might, but the thing is, you also have to realize when you clean up a voter roll, that's to, you know, clean off people who haven't voted in years, clean off people who are dead. What it doesn't do is it doesn't clean off people who've registered to vote in the last 2 years who might not actually be eligible. Now, I'm not worried about that in Texas. I'm just not, because they're pretty good about making sure that things are right. But I am worried about that in some other states. You have people voting against a simple bill that people have to be citizens. And I know they say you have to be a citizen to vote, but if they're not checking your ID when you vote, and if you can get registered to vote with simply a driver's license, which you can get in many states without being a citizen, then how do you know?
Yeah.
An ID document that makes it very clear whether you're a citizen somewhere. Because, of course, a green card holder ought to be able to get a driver's license if they're here working. But we have to have some kind of something on the primary document that lets you know. Otherwise, we're going to have non-citizens register to vote. And it's something that's hard to clean up, not to mention how fast the Biden-Harris administration is making people citizens. The New York Times reports they had a record for it. Hmm. We don't know who all these people are. We just don't know.
Yeah, I live in Illinois, Robert, and you know you just go in and you say your name, and I think you match a signature, and that's about it. And they hand you your ballot, and you go vote. So there's not a lot of verification involved in that. I wanted to ask.
Voter ID is so yeah. Critical. I mean, you can't do anything without an ID. you know, go try to attend a Kamala Harris rally without an ID and see what happens to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as you go through security and on the other side of walls, and it's just bizarre. Kamala Harris, since you brought her up and the support that has been seen on the ground for her at events and stuff that she's done, it doesn't seem like she's really had a major big rally where there isn't also something else there drawing people in. Obviously, when she became not just the not Trump candidate, but also the not Biden candidate for the Democrat Party, breathe a little bit of new life. It seems like that really jolted things for the Democrats. Do you feel as though there is any predictable direction that her support is going in right now since we are past the convention? She's got the nomination, and now we're down to the last couple months here, nitty gritty campaigning.
Yeah, I know we didn't see a convention bounce, but that seems to be even polling companies that we know are in the tank for Harris, even they admit that. And so there wasn't a convention bounce. The newness is beginning to wear off. Tough question to beginning to be asked. And even the mainstream media is asking tough questions. You know, the one thing you know about the media is they certainly lean to the left, but they think of themselves as very important. And when you don't talk to them, it absolutely annoys them beyond belief. And so I've seen some tough questioning of her that I would not have expected with, you know, Sunday shows and stuff like that. I mean, it was very impressive. But so I think tough questions begin to be asked and about, you know, her changing her positions and things like that. And so I think it is really something that she's leveled out. And there's not this increase that had been happening. Now, really, I think we're probably at a little bit of a stalemate and a plateau heading into this debate. Both of them have a lot to lose. I think Trump has a lot to gain. Harris has more to lose because she can't win either way. If she doesn't go, she'll be lampooned by the media and by Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And if she does go, there's a chance that it's not going to go well for her. But she did show, I thought, in the ABC, CNN interview, that she can handle carefully rehearsed answers that are well-crafted.
Yeah.
And if she's prepared like that, and doesn't let Trump get under her skin. And more importantly, if Trump is prepared with simple, factual answers and doesn't let Harris get under his skin, I think that answer to answer, Trump is going to win the debate.
Mm.
But he's got to let her not get under his skin. And he's not done a great job of that. And it's tough because I understand there's a lot about her that just makes him really angry. But she does a better job of not letting him get under her skin. I mean, he said a lot of things that she didn't like, but she didn't react. He knows what she's bad at. And what she's bad at is straight up answers without preparation.
We're speaking with Robert C. Cahaly here of the Trafalgar Group. Check out his podcast, The Polling Plus Podcast. Last question before we let you go, Robert. Do J.D. Vance and Tim Walz, do the vice presidential candidates, the vice presidential debate, I mean, with it being so razor thin everywhere, I would think that everything matters. Do you anticipate these vice presidential candidates having an impact on the outcome of this race?
I expect that Tim Walz and some of his craziness is going to be used by the Trump team to kind of draw distance between him and average Americans. And by the same token, I expect some of what J.D. Vance has said, especially as it relates to abortion, and not recently, stuff he said when he was running for Senate, when he first got in there. I expect those words to be used to motivate people, women around abortion. So, yeah, I think that they'll both be used as motivational tools to suggest that what they believe is outside of the mainstream, and they also can act as effective attack dogs. J.D. Vance is very, very good and disciplined when having these interviews. I mean, every one of the Sunday shows I watched, every interview he did, and he could not have been more articulate. And he just wouldn't let the person giving the interview push him around. They couldn't just say that thing where they say, well, that's not true. He came back. No, he literally would not concede points and move on.
Yeah.
And I think that's, I mean, if you're going to fight the mainstream media as a Republican, you have to be able to not do that. Don't concede points and move on.
Yeah. I think that's very well said. Well, we are going to be watching very closely as the Trafalgar Group continues to put out these polls. And Robert C. Cahaley, your podcast, Polling Plus, a must listen for people as we are marching 60 some days here to the election. Your information is going to be very helpful for people who are trying to keep their pulse on this campaign. Thank you for being with us here today. It's always great to talk to you.
And it's always a pleasure to be on your show and talk to your audience, and I just hope you make it out of Illinois before it's too late.
You are not the first person to tell me that on this show. I appreciate that. So we'll talk to you again soon, Robert. Thank you for your time today.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Man, it's the reputation, the state of Illinois' reputation across this country, pretty consistent, which is such a bummer because it really is a great place to live, and Chicago should be the best city in the United States, and it's just... those politicians, they just have destroyed it. Should make it great again. Let's take a quick break. Ryan Wiggins back in studio. We're going to talk about the poll when we come back. Grade the Trump campaign strategy so far. Have you gotten your vote in? Have you left a comment for us as to why you voted the way you did? Kurt said, I don't know that he could do much better, especially in terms of his big tent approach. I think that's accurate. HW said, B/C wish they would only concentrate on policy. I'm tired of the name calling, as I am usually am by August, September. I don't know if he can help it, but it just gets old. What do you think? Go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel, vote in today's live broadcast, live chat, leave a comment. We might read it on the air. We'll be right back.